Amen and amen. So you're all welcome this morning. And let us turn in our Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 27. And let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence that is here already in our midst and what you have already begun to do. We thank you for the times of refreshing that we have already been enjoying here this morning. And as we press in to more of you, we thank you for the greater depth of blessings that you have prepared for us in this place. We thank you for what you alone can do in all aspects of our lives. For you knew us before you formed us in our mother's womb. And as it is written, you know the thoughts that you think toward us. They are thoughts of peace, not of evil. They are to give us an expected end. You have a plan for us. You have a purpose for us. You have a destiny for each one of us to fulfill. And you alone can bring us there. Because eyes have not seen, nor ears heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that you have prepared for those that love you. But your spirit, your own very spirit, reveals those things to us because it searches the deep things of God. And so we are just grateful that we can be called your children and we can look to you as our Father and put our faith and our hope in you at all times, knowing that you never fail. You never fail to keep your word. Thank you, therefore, that what we are about to hear from you out of your holy written word this morning will come to pass in our lives. As you have spoken, so shall we experience. Help us to mix faith with your word, that we may not be hearers alone, but doers of your word, profiting thereby every day of our lives until you come back for us. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for first loving us. Blessed be your holy name, mighty God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Psalm 27. And let us read, for the sake of context, let's read together from verse 1 to verse 6. And then we'll look closely at the verse that we are looking at this morning. But let's read together from verse 1 to 6, Psalm 27. Let's go. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, I don't know about you, I like what the promise in verse 5 says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. You see, as long as we are in this world, we are going to have trouble. How many people will say amen to that? I know many times we love to say amen to, in quote, good things. For instance, if I say, the Lord bless you, amen. But if I say, well, you have some trouble today, not many amens. But we have to learn to say amen to every word of God. Because Jesus himself told us in John chapter 16, verse 33, that in the world we are going to have trouble. And he's talking to his followers. The truth is that as long as we're in this world, trouble will come our ways. Nobody prays for trouble. Nobody likes troubles. But troubles come anyway because there is somebody who causes trouble for everybody that is in this world. And that somebody is Satan. It doesn't care whether you love God or you don't love God. He will cause you trouble anyhow. He even causes trouble for his own followers. Because he has no good thing in himself. You see, you cannot give what you don't have. The devil has no peace, so he can't give peace to anybody. All he has is trouble and destruction. He has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So everywhere he goes, he will cause trouble. He will steal. He will cause destruction. He will try to just cause damage everywhere he goes. But thank God, we have someone on our side who can help us overcome all the troubles of this world. Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 that we already have from God the faith that is required to overcome the world. So we have to make a choice on a daily basis to live by faith or live by the word of God. It's as simple as that. And in doing so, there is something we all have to understand very clearly, and that's what we are looking at this morning by the help of the Holy Spirit. So we want to have help in the time of trouble. Verse 5 again says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Hallelujah. In other words, I will be positioned for victory in the time of trouble. It won't be me struggling to have the victory in the time of trouble. It will be God helping me to have the victory in the time of trouble. And so for me to be someone that enjoys this promise in my life, there is a personal choice to make. We all love to have good things from God. We all love to receive help from God. But what we have to understand as Christians, even as God's children, is that we need to take responsibility. You see, God has not changed. God will never change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When he made Adam and Eve, God gave them instructions and also gave them the power of choice. Isn't that so? They had free will. That was why they could choose to either obey or disobey God. God has not created robots. God never forces anybody to do anything. God tells us what he wants us to do and then leaves us to make a choice whether we want to obey him or disobey him. God, for instance, won't come in your house if you decide to spend all the day watching television. God won't come and just forcefully switch off your TV and say, get off from that place. Read your Bible. You've been at the TV all day long. You have not really spent time with me in fellowship. So get off from that place. God never does that, does he? No. But as humans, sometimes we want to do that. We want to use force and say, well, how long are you going to just sit down before that TV and you don't really have time to read your Bible, and we forcefully switch the thing off? God never does that. Because God wants you to be someone that exercises freedom of choice. So that at the end of the day, you will be the one determining your outcomes in life. Whether you want the positive outcome that God has for you, or you want the negative one that the enemy has for you. It's your choice. Say to your neighbor, it is your choice, even as a child of God. Whether you have the word of God fulfilled in your life or not, it's your choice. Amen. And so we see in verse 4, David taking responsibility. That's why he could say what he said in verse 5. He was so confident in God that in the time of trouble, God will hide him. And God will position him for victory because he was ready to pay the price. He was ready to take up responsibility and do the right thing that will ensure that he got help from God in the time of trouble. If you want help from God, you have to do what he tells you to do. All the blessings of God are conditional. The only thing about God that is unconditional is his love. God loves you in spite of what you do. But God can't help you in spite of what you do. As a Christian, when you die, you are going to heaven because of your faith in Jesus Christ. But as long as you're in this world, every day of your life, when you need help from God, you can only get help if you obey the word of God. If you don't obey God's word, you won't get one single help from him, even as a child of God. Why? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith has to do with the word of God. Not just you knowing it, or quoting it, or memorizing it, but doing it. Because faith without works is dead, me alone. You know, oftentimes we just say, oh, faith is believing God. Just believe God, just believe God. Well, how about if you believe God and you are still doing the wrong thing? It's one thing to say, I believe God. I believe God will help me. But then you sit down all day long worrying. You can't even go to sleep at night. You are up all night worrying about the situation. Well, where's your faith then? And God will be speaking to you from heaven, show me your faith. But we are not listening to him. Oh, I believe God. I believe God will help me. But then you are not behaving like somebody who really believes God will help him. So we have to understand that until we really do the word, we are not really in faith. Bible says, don't just be hearers of the word only, deceiving your own selves. But be ye doers of the word. So faith is believing and doing the word of God. When you are a doer of the word, then you'll be blessed in all your deeds. Hallelujah. So say to your neighbor, be a doer of the word. So that God can help you in the time of need. Amen. Now look at verse 4. One thing. Please underline that phrase. One thing. Not two things. One. 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 I know we often have a long list of do's and don'ts. And sometimes as Christians, we can get into legalism and live the way of the Spirit and go in the flesh without even knowing that we're already on the wrong road. We make a long list. Oh, this, do this, don't do this, don't do. And at the end of the day, the list is so long that we are now carrying a burden on ourselves. We are like the Pharisees and what Jesus said about them, that they make a long list of rules which they themselves cannot keep. And they are forcing the people to keep those rules. That's religion for you. Religion, we have a long list of what they want you to do and what they don't want you to do. But those people who made the rules themselves can't keep them. Because no man in his own human strength can do good, you see. The list may be a good list. Oh, don't this, don't do that, don't this, don't do that. Well, they are all good things. But then, do you have the power to do it? If God doesn't give you the power, you still end up failing. But you see, if you understand one thing, only one thing that will help you with everything in your life. One thing. Not two, just one thing. So say to your neighbor, just know this one thing. And everything else will fit in properly. Amen. Just one thing. One thing, not two. Don't make too many things to come up and burden you in your daily quests for living victoriously. Just remember this one thing. Now, David, under the old covenant, said it, and then under the new, we shall see what Jesus himself has to say about this same one thing similarly. Now, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Just one thing. I'm not seeking after two things. I'm not seeking after 10 things. I'm just seeking after one thing. My motivation for living, my inspiration for living every day of my life is just one thing. Wouldn't that be wonderful if every one of us as Christians begin to say that? The burdens will go off. Just like that. All the things we burden ourselves with. All the cares. All the worries. All the anxieties. Oh, I have to do this. Oh, I have to do this. And at the end of the day, we think so much about what we need to do. We are just so worried. And even to live that day, that particular day with joy, the joy has already escaped us. We live miserably for that day. We are full of sorrow because suddenly we realize we have so many things to do that we can't do. And then we had tomorrow's trouble to today, and we had next week's trouble to today, and then we carry 1 month's trouble into today, and then we are overwhelmed. Yeah, Jesus says, take no thought for tomorrow. Why? Because we are not walking in the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God teaches us to just do one thing. The wisdom of God teaches every one of us as God's people to just do one thing. Just one thing, not two. So I want to encourage every one of us to make a change in our lives, particularly as we are at the beginning of a new year. Because if you begin well, there is every chance that you are going to finish well. You save your time, you save yourself many heartaches by ensuring that you start your journey on the right road, going in the right direction. No religion. Say to your neighbor, no religion. What is required is relationship. Daily. Amen. All right, so one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. And what is that one thing? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Well, don't I need so many things? Yes, of course, you need so many things, but all those things fit in into one thing. Why? Because every other thing you need, you will get when you do this one thing. Because your source of total supply is this one thing. One thing. One thing. When you do this one thing will help you in the time of sickness. This one thing will help you in the time of trouble. This one thing will help you in the time of danger. This one thing will help you in the time of hardship. This one thing will help you in every situation of life. So David was a wise man because apparently he got his wisdom from God. When you walk with God, you will learn the ways of wisdom. Because wisdom comes only from God. We are not talking about natural wisdom, which is the wisdom of this world, the Bible says comes to nothing. The people of the world think they are wise, but at the end of the day, they get into a situation where they don't know what to do anymore. And they become confused. You know how many experts are in the world? So-called experts. Well, if they are really wise, the world should not be in all the problems that they are in right now. But thank God, we as Christians, we are not in any problem. Say to your neighbor, you are not in any problem. You are in righteousness. You are in peace. You are in joy. Because that's the kingdom of God. And that's where you belong. Hallelujah. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. You are God, little children. You have already overcome the world. So you need to change the way you think. Don't think like they think. Now you begin to say, I'm not in problems because I've already overcome them in Christ. I just need to do one thing. I just need to do one thing. Every day of my life, one thing. Every moment of my life, just one thing. Not two things. One thing. One thing. And that's to just dwell in the house of the Lord. Well, was David saying that, well, he will leave his own house and just go and be sleeping in the physical house of God? You see, he wasn't talking in physical senses like we would probably want to interpret it now. He's talking in spiritual senses with spiritual understanding by the wisdom of God. In other words, he's simply saying the one thing that I desire all my days is just to be in the presence of God in fellowship with him. You can fellowship with God when you are lying down in your bed. You can fellowship with God when you are walking down the street. You can fellowship with God when you are in your bathroom. You can fellowship with God everywhere you go. That's what David is saying. I just want to maintain constant communion with God. To be in fellowship with God all the days of my life. I don't want anything to come between my union and my communion with God. Even this world. Even my kingship. Because he was a king. But look at how he said he would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to even be living in the palace or to be found in the tents of the wicked people of the world. In other words, this was someone that understood that God was most important to him in life. How many of us, even as Pentecostal Christians today, can say God is most important to us? Because some of us, our families are more important to us than God. Some of us, our money, our wealth, our riches, those things are more important. If Jesus were to appear to some of us and ask us to choose between him and wealth, some of us would say, well, I choose the wealth. Because, you know, Jesus, when I'm rich, I'll be able to finance the gospel. But Jesus said, no, you're a liar. You're a liar because I know you more than you know yourself. When you have the money, you forget me. You go around the world, touring the world, you even forget about the Bible. Oh, Lord. If you can't love him with the little you have now, how can you love him with much? The way of God is faithful in little, you will be faithful in much. You have to prove your faithfulness when you only have little before God can trust you to be faithful with much. So there's just one thing, and that is just to be in fellowship with God all the days of his life. That's what David is saying here. Now let us turn quickly to Luke chapter 10. Just one thing. Because from what David said in the next verse, for in the time of trouble, he will hide me. In other words, if I really choose to be in close fellowship with God all the days of my life, I will reap benefit from him when I need help. Isn't that simple to understand? Even James tells us, draw near to God, God will draw near to you. You and I are the ones who determine how close we are to God, not God himself. God is no respecter of persons. And that's why we should not even be jealous of those who are closer to God than us. We should just use that as an encouragement and say, well, I just need to step up on my own personal fellowship with God and come up higher in him. Because God is no respecter of persons. Jesus said, those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Isn't that so? Each person will be filled to the degree of their hunger or their thirst for God. Now, Luke chapter 10, what David said under the old covenant, let us hear under the new. You see, God is the same whether in the Old Testament or in the new. That's why as Christians, we have to study the whole Bible. Don't pick one section and say, well, I will major on this section. Major on every single verse of scripture from Genesis to Revelation, because God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What God has been saying from the beginning is what he's still saying now. There's nothing new. The problem is our ignorance is the thing that is costing us. Because when we study the Bible, we will find that the whole Bible is consistent right through. What we see under the new is in the old. And the new is a revelation of the old to help us understand the old better. Because if the Holy Spirit had not come through Jesus to give us the revelation, we would not have understood, for instance, the laws that are in Leviticus, why God instituted all those things. We would not have understood them. We would only have seen them as religious practices. But under the new covenant, studying the book of Hebrews, for instance, we understand why God made all those rules in Leviticus. Now we can see God as we should see him, as a consistent God all through the Bible. So Luke chapter 10. For the sake of time, let us just go down to verse 42. I know we all know that story very well. You can refresh your memories when you get home by studying it again. Mary and Martha, Jesus visiting them in their home and seeing the response of the two sisters. You see, they were two sisters, but they responded differently. Just like in the church today, people respond to the Lord differently. But we can learn from what is written and make adjustments in our individual lives to make sure we are doing it the right way. Sometimes we can be doing it the wrong way and we think we are doing the right thing. Martha thought she was doing the right thing, but she was wrong. She didn't know. Oh, I'm doing all this for Jesus. I'm doing for Jesus. But you see, it would have been okay if you had just done it without then looking sideways at the other sister and wondering, why is she not doing like I'm doing? That's where we run into a problem. God has not created clones. Every individual should make their choice. And you don't have to impose your own idea on somebody else. When we go to school, everybody is in the same class. The teacher teaches everybody. You are just a student like the other person. So you can't tell the other student how to write their own exam. You write your own, let the other person write. The examiner will tell you at the end of the day who has passed, who has failed. It's not for you to say, you are not writing the exam well. You will even be disqualified. Even the exam hall, you are looking sideways, the invigilator will tell you to get out of the exam hall because it's not your business what another person is writing. You just focus on your own, write your own. The examiner at the end of the day will tell who has passed or who has failed. And it may even surprise you that the person you thought is going to fail will pass better than you because you are not the examiner. Just write your own. So Martha made the biggest mistake because she thought she was the one doing the right thing. And then look at Mary. Ah, she just sitting down there doing nothing. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Jesus said, Martha, you are wrong. You are the one that is wrong. Mary is right. I don't know about you. Even many of us today will still, if Jesus had not said this thing, we'll probably have judged wrongly too. Martha, very, very diligent, devoted Christian. Look at how much she's doing. All for Jesus. But look at that one. Not very faithful. Just sitting down there. What's she doing? Just talking about the word. How is that the only thing? But she was the one that had chosen the one thing. The one thing. Why? Because from that one thing will come all other things. Mary will be able to serve Jesus better than Martha because she will serve Jesus based on the knowledge of Jesus himself. When you really spend time with somebody, you get to know the person better. You know what they like, what they don't like. So that when you relate with them, you won't be somebody working against them. Because if you don't know somebody, you may be working against them without knowing. For instance, if I don't know the kind of food my brother likes, I may go shopping trying to buy food for you, and I buy all the wrong things. And I'm happy bringing the shopping home to you that I've spent a lot of money. Oh, my brother is going to be happy. I've really got a lot. And then I come to you and I say, hey, bro, I've been out all day shopping for you just to make you feel good today. And you open the shopping bag and you look at what is there and say, but I don't hate this. And then I'm wondering, but I spent all day shopping for you and you can't even appreciate what I've done, but I don't hate all these things. It would have been better for me to have spent time with you first, get to know you. And then out of that knowledge, because of relationship with you and understanding of your ways, when I go shopping, I won't even spend the whole day. I'll just go pick up exactly what I know you want. And I'll deliver it and you'll be pleased. And I would have really done the right thing. You never get to know somebody unless you spend time with them. Relationship is what brings understanding to you. You'll never get to know God unless you spend time with him. That's why Jesus said, Mary had chosen the better part. Because Jesus is sitting down, learning from Jesus, getting to hear his word, to know the ways of Christ, to understand clearly how to please Jesus. So after that, by the time Mary will get up to serve Jesus, she will serve Jesus perfectly well. But Martha, on the other hand, does not know really how to serve Jesus. That's why she's laboring in the kitchen and then criticizing the other sister. Doesn't that sound like many of us in the church today? We just criticize one another. We spend all day criticizing other Christians without knowing that we don't even understand the ways of Christ. Because we are thinking people should do it like we are doing it. We think we are the ones doing it the right way. No, you are not the one to judge whether you are the one doing it right way or not. There is a judge in heaven who knows how to judge everybody. And he is the one that qualifies to tell us how to please him and how not to please him. And so, Jesus said in verse 42, but one thing, you see the phrase again, one thing. One thing. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Just to be in fellowship with him. Why? Because I'll be able to learn the ways of God. I will be able to know God for myself and then please him. And Jesus is saying, this is the one thing that is needful. Don't I have many needs? Jesus said, one thing is needful. Because out of this one thing, all your needs will be met. And if we remember, without turning there for the sake of time, Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 16 verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, seek one thing and every other thing will come your way. Why? Because God is the source of all the help you need in all areas of your life, all your days, both now and throughout all eternity. So when you get close to Him, then you get close to the source. And the closer you are to the source of help, the more help you will have personally. God is no respecter of persons. No. He's no respecter of persons. You can determine how much of God you have in your life. I can determine how much of God I have in my life. It's just based on the choices we make. We can only encourage one another to make the right choices, but we cannot choose for one another. You can only say, bro, you need to spend more time with God. But you can't force the bro to do it. Or you can say, sis, you need to spend more time in prayer. But you can't force the sis to do it. So when you tell others what the word of God says to do, and they don't want it that way, just pray for them. That's all. Don't force them, just pray for them. Samuel, after he had told the children of Israel what God told him to say to them as a prophet, and the children of Israel said, no, 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 we don't want it that way. We want it our own way. We want to be like the other nations. Just anoint a king to rule over us like the other nations. Samuel told them, but God said he's already a king to you. So which other king are you looking for? Is there somebody better than God who has been looking after you? God who delivered you from bondage in Egypt and brought you into your own land. What else are you looking for? Which king do you need better than God? He said, no, 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 don't worry about that. Just do what we tell you. Anoint a king to rule over us like the other nations all around us. Well, Samuel gave it to them. Then later when they realized they had sinned, they came to Samuel and said, ah, I said, well, you've done it. It's your own choice. But as for me, I will not stop praying for you. Because I'm not going to sin against the Lord by not praying for you. So whether you obey God or not, just pray. Just pray for one another. That's all. And God will do the rest. Now let's also turn quickly to Job chapter 22 and then get your pen and paper. I'll just say one statement or two and then we close. So that when you get home, you can meditate on your notes. What we are saying this morning is very simple and straightforward. The word of God is simple. We must not complicate it. Bible says we must not allow anyone to draw us away from the simplicity that is in Christ. Christ did not bring us confusion. He brought us ease. And that ease comes through our understanding of His word and our willingness to obey the scriptures, because that's what Jesus is all about. Jesus is the fulfillment of the word of God Himself. Now in Job, we see another person that we know very well. Somebody who went through so much trouble in his time. Many of us who are complaining today have not been through a fraction of what Job went through in his days. But look at what Job said. For the sake of time, let's drop down to verse 21, Job chapter 22. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Please underline that in your Bible. Acquaint now thyself with him. You see, this was one of the friends of Job, counseling Job. The counsel is good, but the motive in the heart of that friend is wrong, because he did not understand what Job was going through. Just like you and I many times today in the church, we'll see people going through one affliction or another, we just judge them. But we don't know why they are going through what they are going through. We shouldn't get into that realm of trying to pinpoint why they are going through what they are going through. You don't know. Just pray for them or counsel them with the word of God. So this friend was giving wise counsel to Job But the motive in his heart was wrong, because he thought Job had sinned. That Job was not a righteous man. He should stop calling himself a righteous man. Why are you fooling yourself, Job? If you were a righteous man, you wouldn't be going through all that you are going through. Just repent and get back in line with God. That's what he's saying in a nutshell. But you know, thank God. God is such a wonderful God. You know, later, this same Job had to pray for this Eliphaz or Eliphaz and all the other friends that judge him wrongly. So Jesus said, pray for those who despitefully use you. Even people who criticize you, don't curse them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Just be like Jesus and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them, Father, for they don't understand what they are saying. So he said, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto you. In other words, get yourself into close relationship with God. Good will come your way. You begin to see why one thing is the source of every other thing. God is a good God, isn't that so? God promised that he will crown our year with his goodness, didn't he? So are we going to enjoy the good things of God? Just spend time with him in fellowship. That's all. Draw close to God. Be in union and communion with him. And also, for the sake of time, remember what Jesus himself said. Please, when you get home, read from John chapter 15, from verse 1 to 6. Remember, Jesus said right there that he is the vine, we are the branches, helping us to understand that we are already in union with him. If you are a Christian, you are already in union with Christ. But that does not mean you are in communion with him. That's where we get things wrong as Christians. The fact that I'm in Christ does not mean I'm benefiting from Christ until I begin to learn to walk in obedience with him. You understand it now? Being a Christian is just by virtue of your believing in Jesus as your Savior. But to enjoy the benefits of the life of Christ in your life personally, you will have to learn to walk in obedience to Jesus' instructions. Jesus said, if you obey me, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandment and I'm abiding in his love. In other words, there's a price to pay. We are all in union with Christ as Christians, but we are not all in communion with him. A branch is in union with the vine. But do all the branches bear fruit the same? Why is it that some branches dry up and fall off? And then some, while others are falling off, they are strong, bearing fruit. Well, one is in proper communion. The other is not. That's just the difference. The vine is always good. Jesus is always good. But we as branches, we are not as close as we should be. Some are close, some are not close. Some want to worship God from afar, some want to draw closer to him. It's as simple as that. But the closer you are to Christ, the more of his life you have flowing through you, producing the fruits that God wants to see in your life personally. All right, please write this down as we close. One thing, or put it this way, desiring one thing from the Lord, or as Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 says, seeking first the kingdom, or as we read from Job 22 verse 21, acquainting yourself with God, or as we read from Luke also, the one thing that Jesus said is needful right there. All these things indicate a priority all of them indicate a priority, whether you talk about one thing, whether you talk about seeking first the kingdom of God, acquainting yourself with God. They all point to us that there is a priority that we all have to understand and make a choice to place above all other priorities in our lives. It should be the number one priority. And what is that priority? Please write this down. It is simply to be in close communion with God. And in front of that, just write John chapter 15, verses 1 to 5. It will be okay to read it up to verse 5. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 5. So how do we then do this? How do we maintain close communion with God to ensure that we are choosing the one thing that will be the source of all the help that we need in all areas of life on a daily basis? Number one, personally spend time meditating in the Word of God. In front of that, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, Psalm chapter 1 verses 1 to 3. See, God says, if you meditate in the word, you will be fruitful. Isn't that so? Because when you meditate in the word of God, you are meditating in God himself. God and his word are one. In the beginning, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. So how do we meditate or spend time in fellowship with God that we cannot see? It is by fellowshipping with the word that we can carry about, handle and touch. This is God. When you spend time in the word of God, you are spending time in God. When you fellowship with the word, thinking upon it, instead of thinking about all the news of this world and thinking about what is going on in the world and complaining like the people of the world are complaining, you are, instead of doing that, you are spending time meditating on the word of God, thinking upon the word. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 tells us what we should be thinking upon. So you need to check yourself as an individual. What am I thinking on? But if you are thinking on the wrong things, you are going to have a wrong outcome in your life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you sit down and think about all the troubles of this world, you have plenty of trouble overcoming you instead of you overcoming them. But you think on what is pure. You think on what is good report, of good report. You think on what is praiseworthy. And then God will arise for you because you are thinking upon him. But if you take the devil's bait and you think of all your troubles, it will overwhelm your soul. That's why many Christians are miserable all day long. And then you begin to wonder, but are you not the redeemed of the Lord? So what's happening? Because my Bible tells me the redeemed or the ransomed of the Lord shall return unto Zion with singing, everlasting joy, no sorrow. So how come you have sorrow? You should be rejoicing. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. The problem is you are meditating on the wrong things. And so you are attracting a wrong environment around yourself. When you think on wrong things, the devil will come, even as a Christian, because you are creating an atmosphere for him to oppress you. But when you think on the pure things of God, you create an atmosphere for God's presence around you. And you'll be able to have the joy of the Lord flowing out of you and overwhelming all areas of your life. Number two thing you need to do is to pray. You need to pray. You see, prayer is fellowshipping with God. Don't think of prayer as religion. No, prayer is having conversation with God. Prayer is communicating with God. Prayer is talking to God and listening to him. When you are praying, you are in fellowship. That's why Jesus, while he was here on earth, was always praying, because he understood he must be in fellowship with the Father in order to do the one thing, which was to obey the Father, even to the point of dying on the cross. Number three thing is to praise God. Praise Him. No complaints. Praise. Someone says, but I'm in trouble. Praise Him in the trouble. Paul and Silas were in prison. Isn't that so? Bible tells us in Acts chapter 16. But then in the midnight hour, they prayed and they sang praises unto God. But many of us, when we are in trouble or in court, prison, in any area of our life, we just spend all the time complaining. Say to your neighbor, it's time to praise the Lord. Praise Him in season. Praise Him out of season. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at noon. Praise Him in the night. Praise Him all day long. Thank Him always. No matter the situation, He will turn things around for you. See, when you praise God, Psalm chapter 22 verse 3 tells us that God inhabits the praises of His people. So when you are praising God, what are you doing? God is coming. And when God arises, the devil runs away. See why the devil doesn't want us to praise? He wants us to complain. Because complaining is the evil spirit. All the children of Israel that complained in the wilderness, none of them made it to the promised land. You may feel justified. Oh, I have many reasons to complain because things are not going the right way for me. I have to complain. But God says, no, don't complain. Praise me like Paul and Silas and let me come on the scene and help you. I know how to fight the battle for you. You can't fight it yourself. Let me fight for you. I know how to fight, clean fight. You know, when we try to fight, we mess up ourselves. And at the end of the day, we put ourselves to shame. Maybe we go and take on somebody that we thought, oh, this one is of smaller size. Sorry, smaller size than me. I can beat him up. But then the person shames us. But God never loses any battle. He knows how to fight a clean fight. Oh, hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet today. Our God is so good. I tell you, God is so good. Just remember every day, spend time in the Word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time praising God. No time to complain. No time to worry. No time to meditate on the troubles of life. Only meditate on the Word. Only pray. Only praise God. You may not understand why you are going through what you are going through, but remember the one thing. Just fellowship with God. That's all. God knows, and He will help you. He will help you. He will help you. Now let's lift our hands to the Lord. We are going to listen to the song of worship that we sang a short while in the morning ago. But before we do that, let's all do one thing. You see, there's something about relationship with God. It flows from a heart that is sincere toward God. David had that kind of heart. And that was why God said of David, he was a man after his heart. It wasn't that David never made mistakes. In fact, David did some things that today, if somebody did those things, will question whether they really knew God. But every time God came to him and told him, you've done the wrong thing, he'll be quick to repent. But Saul, on the other hand, whenever God will tell him, why have you done this? He will make excuses. He will blame it like Adam blamed it on Eve. He will blame it on the people. Oh, yes, yes, yes. It's the people that said they wanted to make sacrifice to God. After all, we brought the animal to sacrifice to you. So what are you saying, God? It's for you. God said, no. To obey is better than sacrifice. Whatsoever I tell you to do, just do it. Don't try to please me your own way. The only way you can please me is by obeying me, doing exactly what I say. I know every one of us here at some point or the other in our lives, we've complained rather than praising God when things are not going the way we thought they should go. Or maybe we've done one other thing or another that really didn't fit in with what God said we should do in difficult situations. Well, it's time to just say, Lord, forgive me. That's all. Oh, forgive me for not obeying you. Forgive me for allowing the troubles of life to overwhelm my soul. Forgive me for those times I've meditated on the troubles of life rather than meditating on your sweet promises. Forgive me for the times I've complained instead of praising you. Forgive me for the time I've been like Martha, judging my fellow sister or my fellow brethren, thinking they are not doing it the way I am doing it. Father, forgive me. Forgive me for those times that I've wasted on things that did not really make me to be close to you. Those times I've spent meditating on things that were not profitable. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for all the times that I have been lukewarm. All those times I have not been fervent in my relationship with you. Dear Lord, we come to you humbly this morning. As the psalmist said, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Forgive every one of us for every way we have missed the mark. Every way we have not done the one thing that is needful. Every way we have piled pressures on ourselves instead of just focusing on you. Forgive us, Lord. We stand in the gap for every one of your saints everywhere. Not just for us in this assembly, but for everyone that is called by your name. For you told us to put on your whole armor and watch for every saint. So we intercede for every Christian everywhere. Every one of us that have been doing like Martha instead of doing like Mary. Forgive us, O God. And help our hearts to come back to that one thing that is needful. And to diligently do that one thing every single day of our lives. So that we may open the door for you to be the one doing every other thing for us daily. For you have not changed. The same thing you told Adam at the beginning is the same thing you have been telling everyone that you have called since then. You said the same thing to Abraham, the father of faith. You said, Abraham, walk thou before me and be perfect. I will make my covenant with you. I will bless you. I'll bless your seed after you. I'll be a friend to your friends. I'll be an enemy to your enemies. Just walk before me and be perfect. You are saying the same thing to us in Christ today. To just walk with you in the way of obedience to your word. Spending time in fellowship with you. And all these other things, all of them, shall be added unto us. Thank you for hearts to do it. In the name of Jesus. While we're reflecting, let Emanuela just play that song and let's worship God. The sheet is there right by your side, so you can take it up again and sing along. We just run through it once as we reflect on the Lord and just thank him for his faithfulness. There is no promise he has made in his word that he will not keep if we walk in uprightness of heart. And may he help us to do our own part daily, diligently, because he never fails to do his own part. And as we worship him again, whatsoever your need may be here this morning, just trust in the Lord Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will grant you the desires of thine heart. Just remember the one thing and focus on Jesus, that Jesus, I just love you. I want to be closer to you daily. And you see how he will help you with all your need. You open the door for him to come, he will come. And he will sup with you. He will bless you. He will help you. He will uphold you. He will sustain you. He will fight for you. He is your faithful shepherd. Hallelujah.